You are listening to the Her Money Matters podcast, episode 52.
Welcome to the Her Money Matters podcast, the podcast to help you take control of your finances. Join your host, motivational money coach, Jen Hemphill, as she shares with you practical, simple money insights and real life stories by women like you. Let's get to it.
Hello, hello. This is Jen Hemphill, your host of this podcast. I am very happy to have you here today as it means so much that you listen to this podcast. There's hundreds and hundreds of podcasts to choose from, and for you to choose me in this podcast, it's a huge honor. So thank you so much. Happy June to you if you are listening to this as it becomes available. If not, if you're listening to this much later, happy day to you. This month's episodes, I'm excited about. I'm always excited about each episode, but what I'm trying to do, my whole mission, and you'll see it's just going to be a work in progress. It's never going to be perfect, but I try to pick themes each month that I focus on for those episodes. But what hasn't been happening has been the guests. So I'm trying to tweak it so the month's themes, not only the solo episodes, the ones where you just hear me talk about that theme, but I also touch upon that with the guests that I bring to you. That's my whole ideal way to do this podcast. So again, it's a work in progress. This month's episodes are really going to focus on relationships and money. When you look at the stats, money is such a huge factor in divorces. So I have three guests lined up for you. I will also include some celebration this month, as towards the end of the month, the Her Money Matters podcast is turning 1 year old. So excited about, I'm really excited about that. So there will be a special episode for that. And also want to remind you that if you you haven't already, don't forget to join the wait list to get notified when the doors for the enrollment of the Fearless Money Sisterhood opens. If this is your first time hearing about it, you can get all the details and you'll be able to also join the wait list over at jenhemphill.com/fearless. So today's episode, this is what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about how the simple words such as ours, mine, yours can affect how you manage your money. I'm also going to share with you one huge thing that you can do to prevent financial infidelity. And we'll also discuss slightly just a little bit about what that is. And what digging into and learning how you and your partner grew up around money, how that in itself can make your life a whole lot less tense when it comes to money. And then we're going to talk about certain scenarios that you can discuss and you should discuss with your partner just to make your life easier when these scenarios may happen or may not happen. So just to be prepared for that. Before we get into that, as usual, I want to do a shout out, and today's shout out goes to Lindsay. She's in our Her Money Matters community, and recently she paid off some debt, and also in the process of that, she was able to save up some money to replace all the tires on her car. So, and we know that those are expensive. Replacing tires on the car is always a pain because it's painful in the mind too, just because it costs so much. So congrats, Lindsay. I wanted to acknowledge you for just an awesome job, just doing so great with that. And really to thank you as well to sharing that win with us. That means a lot. So let's go ahead and get to the nitty gritty of this episode. It's no secret. Money is one of the leading causes of stress in relationships and divorce as well. Talking about money just in itself is not easy, right? And relationships on its own are work. Relationships or marriage are definitely work. It's not anything easy. And then when you try to mesh the two, you mesh talking with money with the marriage or the relationship, well, that can get more complicated, right? So how can we lessen that stress and make it less complicated? There are four things that I've come up with that I feel that you should consider so mixing money and love won't be a disaster. There aren't in any particular order. All right. So the first one that I wanted to talk about is what words you're using. So how you and your partner view money in terms of the relationship. Is the money ours? Is the money yours? Is the money mine? How do you and your partner view that money? So, because that's going to affect how you manage your money. It's also going to affect if you see the money that you make as yours, you probably, chances are, you probably each have your own accounts and maybe agree to pay certain bills from those certain accounts. Or maybe the money is ours. So you work more as a unit in terms of all the money going in one account and the bills being paid from that account. But having this, just this alone right here, knowing what words you use, how you view your money in terms of in the relationship, it's going to help you not only handle the conversation so much better because you're aware of it, right? But you're going to have clarity as to how you manage your money as well. So again, I'm talking about in terms of like, are you having a joint account for, you know, because you're married or you're in the relationship, that's where your money is yours? Is the money just mine and yours? How do you view that? And that's really, I feel, critical to understand and be aware of. It's a simple conversation. You probably already know the answer to it without having to have that conversation, just listening, having had those conversations in the past with your partner, you already know how you view, but just being aware of it is going to make your life a lot easier and make just managing, being able to decide how you're going to manage your money. Again, there's no, as I mentioned before, there's no one way that's the correct way. You got to do what is right for you, what is right for your relationship at the time. Sometimes that will evolve and how you manage your money and or how you distribute your money as far as whether you have joint accounts, separate accounts, that can evolve in time as well. I've seen that happen. The second thing that I think is important is not just understanding, but really being honest on what money baggage you're bringing into the relationship, into the marriage. Are you bringing some debt? Maybe you're dealing with child support, alimony, whatever case may be. It's important to be honest and upfront just before you get into the relationship. If you already have been married for a while, maybe that was a conversation that you had prior to getting married, or maybe you got married and you found that out. You can reflect on how that made you feel or what kind of tension that caused. But just, I know it's not easy, but just being honest, putting that baggage on the table so it's there, so you know you can move on, you can have the discussion, you can move on, figure out how you're going to handle that. The debt, I know for us, my husband had a really, really difficult time when we got married on him bringing in some student loan debt. That was tough on him emotionally, that he felt guilty bringing into the marriage. But we had that discussion. And for me, it was just, I know this is weird and maybe nerdy to say, but for me, it was a challenge. I'm like, now I can figure out how to pay this debt. I don't know. Don't ask me why I thought that way. But anyways, that's just me. And I had no problem because he was my husband. And for me, we work as a team and we can figure it out together. It's also being upfront and honest from the beginning is going to help you prevent from committing, if you will. I don't know if I want to use that word, but that's the first word that comes to my brain. Financial infidelity. So if you haven't heard that term before, or you've probably heard infidelity, but financial infidelity really simply is just lying about each other about money. So maybe hiding some debts, maybe you had taken, maybe you or your spouse took a credit card out on your own and are putting some debt on there, whatever the case may be. So being honest from the get-go is going to help you prevent that, because you've already had that hard conversation, that tense conversation about whether you had debt before the marriage or whatever the case may be, is going to help you have another difficult conversation down the line, and therefore is going to help you prevent that financial infidelity on both sides. And it's going to help open up that conversation as far as both being comfortable, because one came clean with whatever it may be, bringing debt or whatever you want to call it. And then it just opens up the conversation and the comfort level to be able to talk about that. And therefore, of course, that's going to help you prevent financial infidelity in the future. The third thing that I think is very important is knowing each other's money story. So really digging to the past and learning about how each other, having that conversation, and it could be just a fun date where you have these conversations. Well, how did you grow up around money? And it's not just that question, but tell me about your parents. How did they manage money when you were growing up? Or what did they teach you about money? Or what do you remember seeing? Were there any arguments? Or were there certain phrases that they said a lot, like, we can't afford this? Or what other kind of memories do you have? Because that definitely affects how you handle money today. And you need to be aware of that, not just your money story, but your partner's money story. That's gonna help you have those conversations, especially that initial one. If you have learned, not necessarily won't be the initial one, depending on whether you're already married, have been with this person for a while, but having that conversation about each other's money story is gonna open up. Just like the money baggage, being upfront with the money baggage is going to help future money conversations, because talking about money is already hard enough as it is. So it's going to help you alleviate and lessen that tension when it comes to money, because you already have learned about how you each have grown up around money, and you've understand why you each handle money in the way that you do, whether you're a spender, whether you're a saver, whether you don't like to budget at all, maybe there's a reason behind that, whether you're adamant about every single coupon and you will only go grocery shopping if you have coupons, whatever that may be, there's a reason for that. So you have to really know what each other's money story is, how you grew up around money. That's going to help you tremendously. And the fourth thing that I felt was really important was just to understand or to discuss certain scenarios and understand what you would do in those scenarios. So one could be if there's only one breadwinner in the family. So maybe, you're the breadwinner or your spouse is the breadwinner, and how you each feel about that. Maybe it's because let's say you're not the breadwinner, maybe your spouse is the breadwinner and you decide to stay at home to take care of the kids, right? That's a common one. So how does your spouse, and how do you feel? Does your spouse feel like you should be bringing in some money and pitching in, right? Or is your spouse completely okay and very supportive? Are you on the other side if you stay home? Are you feeling guilty for not bringing in money? You have to have those conversations about these scenarios. So one is just only one being the breadwinner and the other one not bringing any money, right? The other scenario I think is important is if you're both working, and especially since women and men were so different. But if, let's say, in this case, you're bringing in more money than your husband. So talk about that and how does that affect things, or is it really not a relevant thing? I mean, in some cases, it's really no big deal. In other cases, the male might feel they shouldn't, I don't think, but the male is going to feel like he should be making more money because the traditional role of the male is a breadwinner, right? So have those conversations about that. Another scenario is if one of you loses the job, what do you do? Like, especially what do you do when one loses a job? Have those conversations. It can go any way, the conversation. There's not one specific question that you ask, but just talk about if one of us loses a job, what do we do, right? Because you don't want to have that happen. And I'm not here talking about preparing. I'm not talking about emergency funds or preparing in case something like that happens. I'm talking about the feelings that you have. What will, like, if this happens, how could you possibly feel, right? How will that affect your relationship with each other? This is the conversations I'm talking about. Of course, preparing financially just in case with emergency funds, that's another conversation. What I'm talking about here is how emotionally that will affect both of you. And you have to have those, you talk about it ahead of time. So that way, if it happens, you already know, you're prepared ahead of time. The other scenario is because there's always that one family member that asks for money, right? Have you experienced that before? There's that one family member that needs money, comes to you for money. So talk about the scenario. How do you handle this? Are you going to have parameters? Or is there, like, do you not lend them or give them money? Is there a certain amount that you won't go over to give them money? Is it just a one-time gift? How are you going to handle that when a family member asks for money? Because that, especially if it's your family member and you love that family member and you want to help, what if your spouse doesn't? Or maybe they have issues into giving the money. You have to have those conversations so you know how each other feels. That's going to prevent a lot of heartache in the future if that happens, right? The other scenario to talk about is how do we handle aging parents? In episode 32, I discuss more about this, but the reason why I bring this up is because we're not getting any younger. Of course, our parents aren't either. Eventually, they're going to need some sort of support. And if you discuss the scenario, especially if you have two sets of parents, right, that are living, you want to know, how do you handle those things? How do you, when they need them financially, what are you going to be able to do to financially support them? If that's the case, what kind of other support, whether physically, they're going to be living with you or whatever the case may be. Have those types of conversations for those certain scenarios. And come in some sort of agreement, some middle ground with this. So later on down the line, you've already had the discussion and it's going to alleviate stress, it's going to alleviate arguments. You're going to be able to make the best decisions at that time, not only for you all, but financially as well, instead of focusing on the stress of the argument or the stress of the conversation. So those are the four things that I think are essential when talking about mixing love and money. So I hope you have found that of value. And let me just go ahead and recap what they were. One was about understanding the words that you use, such as ours, yours, mine, and how that affects how you manage your money. The second one was about being honest and being upfront about the money baggage that you bring to the table and how that helps you or prevents you from financial infidelity in your relationship. And also knowing each other's money story and how important that is for your marriage, for money conversations, for being able to talk about that so much easier. And the fourth one was really, we talked about different scenarios that you should discuss when to be able to have these discussions, come to a middle ground, come to some sort of agreement, come to some parameters on how you would handle things, some rules, so that way when if these things were to happen, you've had this conversation already. It's going to alleviate the stress, the arguments later. So at that time, you can make decisions solely based on what's going on versus the emotional piece. You're going to have that out of your brain and you can focus on making the good decisions for you, not just the decisions, but also the financial decisions that you will have to make. So that is it. If you didn't get the link at the beginning about the waitlist for the Fearless Money Sisterhood, it's jenhemphill.com/fearless. You will also find the link over in the show notes as well. Next week on episode 53, we'll have our first guest for this theme of relationships and money, and we'll be getting to know her and about how they've handled marriage and money and so much more. So that is it. You can check out all the show notes at jenhemphill.com. All the show notes, they're very brief, right? So you can check out the show notes at jenhemphill.com/52. So you can get the link, you can read the transcript if you want. And I appreciate you listening, and we'll talk again next Thursday.